1 John chapter 2, we're going to start here. We're going to talk today about the Holy Spirit. And he's always an exciting person to talk about because nobody really knows him. So you got to introduce him to so many people because he's the invisible one. He's the unseen one. He's the one you can't draw a picture of. Amen. You can draw a picture of Jesus pretty easily because he was on the earth. And you can draw a picture of God as long as you just white it out with glory. But you can at least have a throne for him and Jesus. But with Holy Spirit, you can't have a throne. You can't have nothing. Actually, he looks like Jesus. He looks like Jesus, and it doesn't matter about the flesh, it's the Spirit. He looks just like Jesus, just like God. But we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit because he's our helper. And you know that, but I wanted to highlight the fact that he's the standby. He's the partner in this life. And so in the Greek, the word is paraclete, but it means standby, it means helper, it means comforter, it means somebody that's with you. Technically, it would refer to somebody that jumped in the foxhole with a soldier. You're a soldier, you jump in the foxhole, bullets are flying, there's some danger, there's some strategy needed, there's some protection needed. He jumps in with you. And so he supports you. He helps you. He's the one that knows when to peek your head up. He's the one that knows when to fire back. He knows what to do for you. And so he didn't just leave you alone. He's not just cheering you on. He's actually helping you through this life. And so because of that, we need to get to know the Holy Spirit. We need to be familiar with the Holy Spirit. He's not just the third person that we talk about. He's the person that we walk with.
Amen.
And so you need to know the people you walk with. You need to hear them and talk to them and know them and get familiar with them. And so the Holy Spirit is designed to do some mighty things with us, for us. But 1 John chapter 2, verse 20 says this. Well, let's skip to verse 15. This is in a certain context. It says, "Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is passing away and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever." Skip to verse 20, says, "But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things." Notice that term, anointing. We talked about it last week, that Christ means the Anointed One. And if you're going to talk about Christ the Anointed One, with him comes the Holy Spirit, who is the one that anoints. Here it says that you have an anointing from the Holy One. That means you have a charisma, a gift, a touch from God. Remember, anointing means spirit has touched flesh. You have an anointing from the Holy One and you know all things. You have a powerful presence from the Holy Spirit. He's in there and he knows all things. So everybody in here, you can look up here for just a moment. Everybody in here, actually, you know everything. In your spirit, you got it.
Amen.
Now, your brain is a different story. And that's the problem with knowing everything, is that there's an 18-inch journey that it takes to get to your faculty so that you can make a decision. At first, your spirit knows, your head is uncertain. Then your head comes up with its own ideas. Then it has to decide if its own ideas are better than what it knows. Then the decision has to be made. I'm going to follow my spirit instead of my head. But you actually do know all things in your spirit, man. All things related to you. You're not going to know all things related to everybody else. But you're responsible for you. Therefore, you get to know everything about you. And there's timing involved. So what you do know may not perfectly come to fruition until the timing's right. And God needs you to know it. Because he knows if your brain knew it today, you'd do it today. He doesn't want you to do it today. But it gives you a sense of tomorrow, and that's healthy and good. So just recognize that you actually know all things to the point that you shouldn't walk around saying, "I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do, oh my gosh, what are we going to do, I don't know what to do." That's a bad confession. That's a bad way for a Christian to talk. Let the world talk that way because they don't know. But we have access to the knower. And you and I need to get familiar with the knower. He knows everything. He's God. He's in me. So I don't have to be confused. I don't have to be worried. I don't have to be uncertain about things. I need to pray it through so that those words from my spirit, that knowing in my spirit, can actually come to light in my mind. So praying in the Holy Spirit is the key to getting that knower to work right.
Amen.
It's like the grease or the gasoline that makes it function. The more you pray in tongues, the more you'll function. Skip to verse 27. It says, "But the anointing," again charisma, "which you have received from Him abides in you. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things, and is true, and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in Him." Notice that, in Him. So here it's talking about the anointing, and at the end it says, you will abide in Him. He is a person. So here it says, it, but really the pronoun is interchangeable, and it should be Him. He's a He. The Holy Spirit is a He. He's not a mist. The Holy Spirit is a person. He's not a dove. You knew that, right?
Amen.
He's the person of God. It says the same anointing. That presence of the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. That's the key. That presence of the Holy Spirit teaches you all things. Now, some have taken this one scripture and closed the rest of the Bible and said, there, I don't need to go to church because the Holy Spirit's going to teach me and the Holy Spirit. You know, we're going to go stay home and we're going to learn the Bible. Okay. First of all, He is your number one teacher. But there are other teachers that need to be talking to you, because He's going to use a lot of different people to instruct you in the ways of God. If that wasn't the case, then Jesus wouldn't have said, I'm giving you gifts, apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, to perfect the saints for the work of the ministry, edify the body of Christ. Jesus decided, the Lord Jesus Christ decided He was going to give some people to people.
Amen.
So no, you are not allowed to go home with the Holy Spirit and learn the Bible only. He's your number one teacher.
Yes.
Everything that is said needs to filter through Him. He's going to help you assimilate all the things you hear, but in no way is He the only teacher of your life. You got to know that. Many people have decided that, you know, I don't need church, you know, that's just pride. All that is pride. And it's an excuse to not have to be accountable or responsible to anybody but yourself. It's very rude to people, and it's very rude to Jesus. Okay? And it's immature. And really what it is, it's deception from the devil. The devil will use all sorts of weird things to convince people not to hang out with Christians.
Right.
True that. But He is the one that's going to keep you safe from wrong doctrine. The Holy Spirit, the anointing, He's going to guide you into all truth and teach you things. And so I just want you to know you can trust the Holy Spirit. Okay? Even if you're a brand new Christian or a one-year-old Christian, it doesn't matter how old you are, you can trust the Holy Spirit to keep you safe with the things that you hear. What do I mean by that? I mean the Holy Spirit's in there, so everything you hear needs to filter through Him before you take it in. And if it's wrong, you just toss it out. If it's right, you go ahead and take it in and rejoice about it. And if it's questionable, put it on the shelf. Because you're not going to know sometimes if it's right or wrong until you learn the Bible thoroughly, until you have some experience and some wisdom about the things of God. You may not know every single thing that's said if it's right or wrong. So I say there's three categories. There's right, there's wrong, and there's I'm not so sure. So in the not so sure category, just shelve it for a while until you read a passage that explains it. Ah, that's what they meant. I see that. Because sometimes people hear something and are alarmed for no reason. Like sometimes a brand new person might hear something about the Holy Spirit or tongues and they're like, I don't know about that. No. See, that's just you questioning and being skeptical, which there's a part of that's okay as long as you're submitted to the Word of God. So put that on the shelf. Even if it's something that's so holy and wonderful, put that on the shelf, but be very open and honest next time you hear something or read a scripture. I'll take that quickly, rather than push back based off of something that you grew up with.
Right.
Follow me?
No.
But I want you to know that you can trust the Holy Spirit, because I think there's been a lot of good, honest Christians that have heard, you know, famous people or respected ministers say and do, and they just took it hook, line, and sinker. acting like the source made it perfect. Because it came from Billy Graham, must be perfect. Or whoever, you know what I mean. But you can't do that. Trust the Holy Spirit when the flag goes up. Not so sure about that. I can take most of the fish from these preachers, but not all the fish. I'm not going to eat the bones. If a bone slipped into their message, I'm not eating that. And I've always had an easy time doing that. It's like, oh, well, I love this guy. I don't believe that, but I'm take that bone out of there. But I've always trusted the Holy Spirit to keep me straight. You can too.
Amen.
It does require complete honesty about yourself, about the Word of God, about Jesus, about people. You can't have any ulterior motive. You can't have any pride in there concerning you learning the Scripture. Follow me? This is not competition. There's never to be any kind of, well, I know better than everybody else. No, it can't be that. It's got to be purity when it comes to the Scriptures. And the Holy Spirit will lead you through that. So if you do have an alarm that, trust that. It's okay. You'll know. How do I know that? Because He said, you know all things. And even if your brain fights it for a while, you know. So turn with me to John chapter 14. John 14, Jesus, up until this time, Jesus was the only one the disciples knew. If they had a question, they asked Jesus. If they needed direction, they asked Jesus. If they were bored, they just followed Jesus. That ought to give you a clue. If you're bored, just follow the Holy Spirit. Don't go creating some flesh thing just because you're bored. So up until this time, they just followed Jesus. If they had a question, Jesus, where are we going to get bread for so many people? Jesus, why'd you do that? Jesus, how come we couldn't cast it out? Jesus, just asking Him questions. And so everything they needed, they got straight from Jesus. But Jesus knew He's about to leave, so He told them these things. This is towards the end of His ministry, and He was preparing them before He departed. So here's what He said. If you love, verse 15, 14, 15. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper. Notice it's capitalized, that He may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, that's His other name, or that's one of the names of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and will be in you. Hallelujah. Skip to verse 25. These things I've spoken to you while being present with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Notice what the Holy Spirit's going to do. He's going to remind you. He's going to bring to your remembrance the proper things. Hallelujah. Turn with me to John chapter 16. Verse 7, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it's to your advantage that I go away. If I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you, but if I depart, I'll send Him to you. Skip to verse 13. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. See, you got the one that knows the future living on the inside of you. He will glorify me, for He will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine, therefore I said He will take of mine and declare it to you. It's the Holy Spirit that's going to take the things of God and show them to you. He's going to reveal truth to you about God and His kingdom and about your purpose and future. He'll always remind you of Scripture. And that's why you need to learn Scripture very quickly. If you don't know Scripture, all you get is a sense, a little twist. Boop, nope. Yep, nope, yep. But as soon as you start knowing some Scripture, now He can remind you. So you do have to have heard Jesus to get really fully equipped with the Holy Spirit. But He's going to help you. He'll help you obey the Word of God. He'll help you obey God, period. It's one of His jobs. He'll help you stay with the body of Christ in a good way. Meaning, He'll help you. He'll remind you to forgive your brother. He'll remind you to forgive your sister. Not in word only, but also in attitude. He's not going to let you get out of one accord with one another. He's not going to let your offense ruin you. He's going to remind you, forgive. You got offended, forgive now and get over it. Matter of fact, go over there and give some money. If you can't get over it, go give some money to that person. He's going to do things to help you stay in a good atmosphere with one another. Always. He loves unity. He's never going to let you get out of unity. He's not going to let you pout. It's Him on the inside of you that's saying, stop pouting. Stop bringing that attitude. It's Him that's trying to stop you from blowing up. That works at home too. He's the one that's trying to halt you from showing your tail. It's the truth. I had a, when at my first church, I taught the youth, and so I was friends with all the kids, and one day this girl comes back, she's like 15 or 16, and she comes back to church that week, and she says, this week I was driving in the car, and I rolled down the window because I was going to throw out some trash that I had. It was like a, you know, fast food or something. She said, I'm going to throw. She said, but something told me not to. She said, was that the Holy Spirit? I said, it was. In the little things of life, if you'll stop overriding the Holy Spirit in the little things, you'll start hearing Him in the big things. If you'll start listening to Him about relationships with people and getting your attitude right, then all of a sudden you'll start hearing direction for your life. Matter of fact, you'll start getting blessed again. There's something about the Holy Spirit that He needs us to be constrained by love. And love doesn't carry around some weird atmosphere about it, right? Yeah, but if I don't punish them with this pouting, how are they going to ever learn? Well, Jesus took the punishment for that person that you're trying to punish. And so you're going to have to learn that and get over that. All right. Hallelujah. He'll lead you to the right scriptures. Turn to Isaiah 41. Somebody might need this every once in a while. He'll remind you of this. Matter of fact, He ought to remind you of this a bunch if you're having some issues here. Isaiah chapter 41. People crying out for help. Oh God, will you help me? Well, verse 10. Isaiah 41:10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. Stop there. The Holy Spirit will make that sound loud to you. I tried to shout it just a little bit just so you realize it's supposed to be loud. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. Everybody kind of knows that. We've all kind of heard that here in church. Some of us are being reminded of it. But listen, the Holy Spirit will amplify the sound of that scripture to your spirit so that you can stop being fearful. Amen. Well, I'm feeling a little bit dismayed right now. Be not dismayed. Fear not, for I'm with you. Be not dismayed, I'm your God. Ooh. I guess I don't have to be dismayed anymore. It's supposed to snap you out of carnal thinking, worried thinking, deception instantly. The Holy Spirit's going to be the one to amplify. All you got to do is yield to Him. That's the big question. Are you going to yield to the Holy Spirit when He reminds you of that? Dismay comes. Fear comes. I know I'm not supposed to be afraid, but I am. You just ignored the Holy Spirit. How did you know not to be afraid? Because the Holy Spirit reminded you. And then, but you're going to be higher than the Holy Spirit? Well, I know He said not to fear, but I'm just too afraid. What you're doing is violating the Holy Spirit. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, verse 13 says, do not quench the Spirit. Amen. You just quenched Him. People use the quenching thing to talk about church services. Don't quench the Holy Spirit if He's moving. Well, that works, but it also works 24/7. Yes. That we should not be quenching the Holy Spirit when He's trying to stop us or start us. Amen. This is quite the big deal. This is quite the big deal. You have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know better. Amen. Than to worry or cheat. or lie. Even April 15th, no lying allowed. Hallelujah. The Holy Spirit will make Scripture come alive to you. He'll apply it for you. Matter of fact, if you think of the apostles, you know, they followed Jesus. They knew the law, but they just weren't very spiritual people. They never even really quoted a Scripture from the Old Testament until they were filled with the Spirit. You can hardly even apply Scripture until you're filled with the Spirit. Now, there's varying degrees of being filled with the Spirit, and some people who haven't, quote, spoken tongues certainly can apply Scripture. But it sure is amplified when you get the Holy Spirit. It sure absolutely is. Peter didn't even quote a Scripture until he got filled with the Spirit. He kind of quoted one when they were choosing to replace Judas. He said, hey, the Scripture has to be filled that the bishop's prick must, somebody else has to take. But that was the first time. It was the week of getting the Holy Spirit. It was after Jesus blew on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before that, man, there was no Scripture quoting going on. You just soak on that for a while. The Holy Spirit will help you know where to go to college. If you're looking to go to college. You don't have to be strung out. Don't start with online going to college. You start with the Holy Spirit. Pray it out in the Spirit. Pray in tongues for a couple months. Pray in tongues your last semester. Pray in tongues your last week. Pray in tongues a month or two before you have to decide. Just pray it out and pray it out and grind it out about your future and pray it out in tongues and pray it out in tongues. And then open your heart. Then open your spirit, man. Open your mind up to what might be reality. Because the truth is, you know down in there what you ought to do. Well, I'm not going to college. Well, the Holy Spirit's going to tell you what to do. He's going to tell you where to get trained in life and what skill set to build. You'll have to follow Him instead of just being a lazy bum. How are you going to act? The Holy Spirit's going to show you how to add value to the world. Why is it so quiet in here, Brother Aaron? I mean, there's hardly any high school graduates right here. Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to be a YouTuber. I'm just going to have YouTube videos and get a lot of likes and get paid for it. So you're an entertainer. Is that what skill set you have, is to be an entertainer? Are you funny? Do you have anything to say valuable that people might want to listen to? Well, I don't know. I'm just hoping maybe I'll get famous one day. I don't know. That's not a plan. See, the Holy Spirit's in there trying to help you become more conscientious about your life and get trained in something so that you have some value to add. Even you might not get a college degree. You might not get a trade degree. You might just be a great laborer. Well, get to laboring. Well, I'm just real good with my hands. I don't like all that learning stuff. I'm just good with my hands. Then start doing something with your hands. And do it quickly and early in your life. Young people are built for strength. Strength of body, strength of mind. You're a blank canvas. That's why young people learn things so quickly. Their canvas is blank. You know, my wall is like pretty full right now. I'm not too interested in learning the next new thing. I used to want to get a new computer every time the new computer came out. I used to want to get the new software every time the new software came out. I don't want to do that anymore. I do not have time to go redo what I've already done. But young people are different. They got a blank canvas, man. They're going for it. And they can pick up things real quick. Do it while you're young. Holy Spirit will help you not take a year off after high school. Well, after high school, I don't know what I want to do. I think I'm just going to travel the world. I'm just going to travel the world and enjoy my year. The Holy Spirit's going to help you not do that. He's been training you all these years to become a diligent servant of God and servant of people and productive citizen. He's not going to say, now take a break off from doing anything wonderful for anybody else but yourself. Amen. I didn't grow up that way. I didn't grow up financially spoiled. I grew up knowing that there's a purpose for me doing good in school. There's a purpose for me getting a degree. There's a purpose for me getting a job. I've got to pay it back. I've got to do something for this world. I've got things that God's put in me that I owe it to give to people.
Amen.
At the time, it was just engineering or computer or whatever. But I had a reason to do it. I got to pay off some loans here. I got to get to work. There's no vacation. You know, people in Europe save up all their money so they can take a year off. I'm not sure that that's too scriptural. Really what it is, it's feeding the irresponsible nature of the human. The wanderlust. If I can just kind of go out and enjoy the world and not have anybody to answer to. That's what they're asking for. They're asking for selfishness.
Amen.
It's even quieter now than it was when I was talking about your kids. You need to recognize that God's put graces on people and gifts on people, and He needs you to be active in them. So disappearing from the world is not a healthy thing for anybody, especially if you have anything. If you know the English language, if you can talk and walk, then you have some responsibility toward other people, not just yourself. Well, I don't need much, you know. I don't need much. I don't need much. You're being selfish. Well, just me and my family. Just me and my family. I'm just taking care of my family. That's what the world says. We live higher.
Amen.
I live for family and for everybody else I can touch.
Good.
That we go to work not just for feeding my family. I'm feeding my family. That's all I got to do, right? I'm feeding my family. What more does God want? I'm taking care of my family. Scripturally, He wants you to do something good with your hands, that you will have something to give to him who's in need.
Amen.
This life is not just about your four. Your little family. That's the world's way. That's the sinner's way. I don't need much. I can live off the land. I can live off the land. The Holy Spirit will help you not just do that. Well, I want to live off the grid. I just want to live off the grid. I'm going to get off this grid. I'm just tired of all these people everywhere and all these people telling me what to do. Living off the grid is not a healthy, productive lifestyle. No, people live off the grid. They've got some issues to deal with. Even if you think about the Amish, they're doing it in the name of God. But the truth is, you know what? God never told us to go create our own communities and disconnect from the world. He said, I'm sending you into the world. He said, I'm not taking you out of the world. I'm sending you to the world. So the Amish could have been a great blessing to so many people if they'd have got some electricity. I don't know. That's all living off the grid is. It just means no electricity. Technically, that's what it means. But no, God did never tell the Christian to go disconnect from people. Now, there's not a problem living out in the country. You know, I have a problem with people that make fun of people that live out in the country. Well, they don't have quite the refinement that we have. You know, we know where to put our fork on the side of the plate. I still don't know that, and I don't care. It doesn't matter what accent you have or how unrefined you might be. God loves everybody. I mean, he doesn't condemn anybody for... You follow me? I also have a problem with people making fun of people living in the city, acting like it's more honorable to live out in nature, that like humans have ruined God's nature by creating a city. Pavement and buildings. Heaven has pavement. Heaven is a city. Heaven has a temple. Heaven has gates. Heaven has mansions. So don't think that it's more honorable toward God to live out in nature. I think heaven also has a countryside, even though the Bible doesn't say it does. Certainly has a city. I think it has a countryside. I know it's got a riverbank. I sure hope there's fishing. I just don't know if there's going to be any fishing. There'll be no eating and no eating fish and no mounting fish. But listen, the Holy Spirit is the one that will help you navigate in your mind through these things. A lot of these things are false pursuits that the devil is designing to just get you off track. He doesn't want people productive. He wants you to be disconnected from community. I don't care if it's a small community in the country or a big community in the city or a small community in the city. I don't care what it is. He wants to disconnect you from people.
Right.
The devil.
Yeah.
The Holy Spirit's trying to keep you from getting disconnected.
Amen.
You need to be connected. God's put grace on you to bless people.
Amen.
I don't know how many that is for you,
right.
But you can't leave that.
Right.
Matter of fact, all my life I wanted to go live out in the country and do my own thing. Have a little factory somewhere, own a manufacturing facility. That was my dream, to have a manufacturing company somewhere out in the country where I could just hunt and fish, do my thing. The moment I got saved, I realized, bye-bye, dream. I got to be where all the people are. Now, I know there's people out in the country. I could have been called there. It's not anything less if you're called there, but I just knew in my heart, I'm going to have to be around a lot of people. I just know that God needs me where all these people are. Interesting, isn't it? The Holy Spirit wants to help us. He'll position you properly if you let Him. Holy Spirit will keep you out of trouble. He'll tell you to turn left instead of right at the appropriate time. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 5. We'll end with this one. Proverbs chapter 5. This is the warning to young men, but men particularly. Of course, women could find themselves in here a little bit, but there's something about the beauty of a woman that men are warned to be careful of, unless it's your wife. I said, unless it's your wife.
Amen.
And everybody said,
amen.
And everybody gave a full-hearted amen. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Lend your ear to my understanding that you may preserve discretion and your lips may keep knowledge. Now remember, the Holy Spirit is going to remind you of this. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to say, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 5, Proverbs 5. And it's up to you and I to yield to the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Verse 3, for the lips of an immoral woman drip honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. There's a lot of immoral women that can be seen at the blink of an eye, the click of a button, these days. Be careful. This is the warning. The Holy Spirit's going to remind you. Verse 4, but in the end she's bitter as wormwood, sharp as a two-edged sword. Her feet go down to death, her steps lay hold of hell. Lest you ponder her path of life, her ways are unstable, you do not know them. Therefore hear me now, my children, and do not depart from the words of my mouth. Remove your way far from her, and do not go near the door of her house. Whose house? The immoral one. The one that looks promiscuous. And that's part of the trouble today. Is we've let promiscuity, at least visibly, sneak in everywhere. And so we hardly know who's promiscuous now. I mean, who's immoral now? Well, if the shoe fits. If it looks like a duck, stay away until it becomes not a duck. What that means is young Christian men shouldn't be hanging out at the immoral well. Young Christian men should recognize, until those people at the well come into my church, I can't mess with them. Can't chase them, can't look at them, can't get tempted by them. But I like honey. We all like honey. That's the problem. You shouldn't get to see any honey right now. Honey's supposed to be well kept until the day of marriage. Don't go near the door of her house lest you give your honor to others. Costs a lot of money. And your years to the cruel one. And this is why we don't want people having sex before marriage. You give your years to the cruel one, the one who hurts and heartbreaks and destroys conscience and starts ruining what's inside you. Lest aliens be filled with your wealth and your labors go to the house of a foreigner, and you mourn at last when your flesh and body are consumed, and you say, how have I hated instruction and my heart despised correction? Listen, that's the whole thing. Kids think they know better than the adults. Kids get the adrenaline of adulthood running through their veins, and it's like, forget the adult instruction, man. I got to do something with this. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined my ear to those who instructed me. I was on the voyage of total ruin in the midst of the assembly and the congregation. Drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets, let them only be your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. Stop there. I know you were hoping I wouldn't read the entire chapter. Because it's pretty graphic. I mean, it goes south in here, doesn't it? Well, there's a warning, and the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of this. Hallelujah. There's a reason not to be promiscuous. It's not just to keep you from enjoying honey. There's a reason. Her depths go down to hell. There's destruction in your heart that you want to warn against. Be warned about. You understand? Promiscuity doesn't send people to hell, but it'll sure create hell in your life. I mean, it doesn't send people to hell automatically. You follow me? Praise the Lord. Is that my alarm for... All right. The point is that the Holy Spirit's going to remind you of even that. The Holy Spirit's your helper. He's trying to keep you safe. The warnings and the fence is not so that you don't have fun or don't enjoy something that God's created. It's designed so you don't fall off the cliff. That's what the fence is for. It's what the Holy Spirit... Now, actually, there's no fence. It's the Holy Spirit trying to warn you.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at houstonfaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.